Welcome all of you warmly on this very sunny Sunday to Palm Sunday at St. Andrew's Cathedral, and a special welcome as well to the choir from Girton College in Cambridge. Thanks for joining us in worship on this very wonderful occasion. Welcome to all of you. I'm Terry Wong, the vicar of the cathedral. It's my privilege to bring God's word to you this morning. And I'll be preaching from Psalm 118, so please keep your Bible open there, the passage or the psalm that's been read for us early on. And I titled my sermon to help us remember prayer, praise, and procession. Psalm 118 is a festival psalm for both Jewish and Christian communities for many years now. It is read during Passover, where Jews will recall God's deliverance of them from slavery in Egypt to freedom. And the joyful thanksgiving of this psalm was the liturgy of the faithful as they process to the temple. And for Christians, Psalm 118, verses 1 to 2 and verses 19 to 29 is a sign every year for Palm Sunday in our lectionary. And verse 26, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And this became the liturgy of all four Gospels for a noisy crowd in Jerusalem, welcoming Jesus who had come to save them. It is, of course, still used today for our liturgy of the palms in all churches, Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, Anglican, as we reenact the first Palm Sunday. And so this morning we join the throngs of worshippers through the centuries as we too bind the festal procession with branches, quoting from verse 27, singing and waving palm branches. And so Psalm 118 is a piece of liturgy, ancient liturgy, bookended by verses 1 to 29, which is actually similar, which says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And between verses 1 to 29, we have a liturgy of movement. And this psalm acts like a back commentary to the gospel reading we have heard in the Gospel of Luke, of Jesus' journey from his victorious entry at the gates of Jerusalem to his sacrifice on the altar of the cross. And I'll draw some reflections on this psalm so that we may understand the significance of Palm Sunday a bit more. And the first thought I'm going to draw is the word Hosanna. Hosanna. What is the meaning of the word Hosanna? My wife Jennifer serves on one of the worship team which leads the services in the cathedral new sanctuary. She loves to sing. And on the 1st of April, she received in a WhatsApp text group the list of songs to be sung on Palm Sunday. And the worship leader say, since it's Palm Sunday, this is a list of songs. Every song has the word Hosanna in it. And my wife was saying, this cannot be. And later we found out it was indeed an April Fool's joke. Hosanna. What does that word mean? And in modern, many churches today, we look at the word as a joyful reference to praise. Perhaps akin to hooray. Welcoming a celebrity, welcoming a king, someone who is important. Indeed, on that day, some may have meant it that way. And very quickly, from hooray, it became crucify him, as we shall see on Good Friday. But Hosanna, if you allow Psalm 118 to interpret and give meaning to the word, does not mean hooray. The meaning Hosanna can be found in verse 25 of this psalm, which says, save us, we pray, O Lord. And save us in Hebrew means Hosanna. And from then, of course, we derive the word Hosanna. So Hosanna is not a cry of praise, but it's a cry for help. It's not praise, it is prayer. It is a spontaneous cry from our hearts when we see someone important coming, someone that we know in our hearts can meet our needs. It is an expression of helplessness and dependence. It is a cry from someone who is broken before God and conscious of his own sins, his own pride, selfishness, or predicament. It's also a cry for political and social deliverance. And here in Singapore, we may feel it a lot less. But you know, Palm Sunday is celebrated all around the world, including troubled spots. Even in the midst of war, debris, earthquake rubbles, and religious persecution, if possible, in some way, Palm Sunday will be observed in churches all around the world. For some, this cry, "Save first, O Lord," is a deep, visceral reaction. It's a natural cry. "Save us, O Lord." This will be the first Holy Week in New Zealand after the horrors of Christchurch. I've been to Christchurch, a beautiful city. As you can imagine by that name, Christchurch, the rich Christian heritage and history. Unthinkable. That should be visited by not just one, but multiple earthquakes. And recently, the largest of them all, a socio-religious earthquake. You're aware. By now, I'm sure, the devastating, horrifying attacks on the two mosques in Christchurch. Even one of the most beautiful islands in the far-flung corners of the south part of the earth is not spared. And I thought this is a good point to introduce our guest preacher. We often have a guest preacher who will journey with us through Holy Week, leading meditations, and we are privileged this year to have Dr. Chila Seychelle, who works as an Old Testament lecturer at the Bible College in Auckland. And I believe she's somewhere in this service. You are seated there. Yeah, just wave your hands. That's Chila and Philip. We also welcome warmly in the name of Christ to sunny Singapore. And we grieve with you and your country, your fellow countrymen, all that New Zealand is going through. We've been praying for you. But and thank you for joining us in this Holy Week. And it's a good time to say. There are almost services almost every week on Holy Week you can be a part of, and they can help you to enter more fully into the presence of Christ. So we brought the children in, and we bring the children in during Palm Sundays. In part, that also reminds us that we need to walk into Holy Week with a childlike posture, with a childlike attitude. Because Hosanna, it's a spontaneous, childlike cry. It is not a learned prayer. It's a natural prayer, spontaneous, that flows from our hearts. I was praying with someone at the regional prayer meeting 2 Fridays ago. Someone is one of the young person in our church, and he said, "Vicar, I do not know how to pray publicly." And I tried to tell him, "It's okay. Prayer is just a cry from the heart." Yet you may have heard this saying, a child cannot draw a bad picture. And that is a picture of sincere, desperate prayer from our hearts. And we call out to the Lord for help. In fact, Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 15, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." This is the posture. And what need do you have in your life as you walk into Holy Week? What need is there? Is it one of desperation? Will you join the throngs of many around the world to say, "Hosanna, save us, O Lord"? I was at the clergy retreat recently, and a speaker said something that I still remember till this day. And he said, there are many laments in the Old Testament. A lament is a cry of someone who refuses to give up. And that's the reason for the lament. It's not a negative thing, it's a positive thing. Someone has given up, you will not hear anything. But a lament, save us, O Lord, is a cry of someone who's hanging on to God. It was St. Augustine who said, sin is believing the lie that you are self-created, self-dependent, and self-sustained. Palm Sunday reminds us that we need to approach the cross like a child in our hearts. Not in childishness, but in childlike faith and dependence. Save us, O Lord. Hosanna. Well, secondly, praise. As you know, if you know your Bible well, if there's prayer, praise is never far away. So praise. The second P. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. I'm reading verse 1 again. For His steadfast love endures forever. And blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. And so there's a cry and there's an antiphonal reply. There is liturgy here. But there's a key word which opened this psalm, and it is Eucharistic. Give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because He is good. There are, of course, many other reasons why God is good. Just sometime this week, I offered bedside communion to a member of our church who almost slipped away into eternity. Suddenly, she's never been hospitalized before. But 3 months ago, she was suddenly hospitalized. It was very critical. In fact, by the time we heard about it, you know, they kept it very private and confidential. But by the time we heard about the fact that he was hospitalized, he was actually well by now. He went through the critical stage. And so he was well enough to receive communion. And I think when I served him a sweet port wine, I heard as he took that. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He must not have... I think he has not drank sweet wine for a long time. But we rejoice together that the Lord spared his life. Yet, this psalm is not about what God has done. It is about who He is. He asks us to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Not because of His works, but because of His nature. And He is a faithful God. It's a Hebrew word which I can't pronounce very well, hesed, you know, which means God is good and He is faithful forever. Not just sometimes, not just temporary. And that's how we experience love. But in this human world, it comes to us but only for a while. But God is faithful all the time, and He's faithful even when we are unfaithful. And this psalmist premise thanksgiving on who God is. You know, Palm Sunday sits uncomfortably in a season of Lent. Whether you see Palm Sunday as part of Lent or after the season of Lent, depending how you count after 40 days. But somehow, Palm Sunday, with this bright and cheery mood, such as this morning, inserted between a solemn season of fasting, of Lent, and the week after it, which we call Holy, which calls for somber reflection. And then in between, you have Palm Sunday. It's a bit of disconnect. Purple, purple, then red, and then purple again. But joy and thanksgiving is appropriate on Palm Sunday. And in fact, every day of the year, including Good Friday. As a younger person, I used to wonder, why Good Friday? Why not Bad Friday and Good Sunday? We know Good Friday, some kind of translation from a German original word. And it's become in English a Good Friday. Can you call God good on Good Friday? Unless that goodness is something you can see beyond the circumstances and remind ourselves who God ultimately is in His nature, in His character, in His person. It helps us look beyond the tragedy of Good Friday and see the goodness of God. And that even in the midst of tragedy, somehow the Lord Jesus, in His character, in His reaction, in His words, reflects that God is good. So verse 24, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad He did. And I thank God for Palm Sunday. It brings a balance. It brings a reminder that we serve a good God and praise and worship is appropriate during a season of Lent and as we enter into a Holy Week. Praise, prayer, praise, and the last P, of course, procession. So verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them. And this journey ends in verse 27. The Lord is God and He's made His light to shine upon us. So bind the festive sacrifice with cords or with branches, depending on the translation you're reading, up to the horns of the altar. And I said earlier that Psalm 118 is a liturgy of movement from one point to another. And during the Jewish festival, the people would be invited into the temple area and they would continue singing unto the Lord until they processed through and reached the destination. And the final stopping place was the altar. Animals will be sacrificed on this altar for the atonement of sins. It is here at the altar that the people became the people of God. So this week, we too process to the cross. The ultimate sacrifice. And we read in verses 22 and 23, the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The bricks that the builders will reject, but somehow it's poorly made, it's poorly fired, and so to be thrown away. And God used the same brick to put right at the centerpiece for which all other bricks draw a reference from which the very foundation of the building find its strength. Now, some may say, this is God's design, verse 23, not ours. This easy to reject Jesus, who did not seem important, who did not act in a way that was respectable to the authorities. And you see this on Monday, Thursday. As He stooped down, He became vulnerable when He washed the feet of His disciples. For only a lowly servant will do that. And indeed, at that point, one of the disciples, or His disciples, betrayed Him. And if Monday, Thursday is a trailer, Good Friday is a full movie. The cross. How low can one get? But Jesus, friends, was made the central piece of reference from which everything else is measured. Because of that, churches all around the world, of every language, tribe, and tongue, exalts the name of Jesus. Procession is about movement from one point to another. And we read in the Gospels, in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, for example, we are told that Jesus resolutely set His eyes on Jerusalem. He knew His destiny. In fact, His life was one long procession from point to point. His movement was guided by His Father's will. In fact, in the Gospel of John, we always hear this phrase, the hour has come, the hour has come, or the hour has not yet come. Somehow, Jesus followed the time set by His Father. His life was one long procession conforming to the will and wishes of his Father. And we read in Good Friday that as Jesus was processing to Mount Calvary, the vertical part of the cross already embedded stake into the ground, but Jesus will be carrying the horizontal beam. The Latin would call it the patibulum, the wooden beam. At one point, Jesus fell because it was too heavy. His body was too weak. And Simon of Cyrene took up his cross and processed with Jesus. That's a powerful picture, I think, for all of us. As we see this procession, we too are invited. Will we join in this procession? In some, sacrifice traditionally is an animal. In the gospel, it's revealed to us that Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. In the New Testament, in the writings of St. Paul, we realize that this procession takes us to the cross. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And so we reflect on this procession, on this movement, religiously and liturgically, as Anglican Church. And we change from one point to another, there's movement. But there's a procession of the heart that is needed. For when the heart moves, we don't call it movement, we call it transformation. And it's the word that Paul used. The same passage, Romans chapter 12, in verse 2, he said this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. It's calling each to us, Palm Sunday, as we process, we ask ourselves, is my life also in alignment with the God's, with the purposes and will of God? And so, as we enter this Holy Week, friends, will you pray? If you do not know the Lord Jesus in your life, I pray somehow you find Him in the Holy Week. That you utter this prayer, Hosanna, Lord, save me. And may you praise because you know who He is and that He is always good, even when the circumstances are dark, difficult, and desperate. And will you join the procession? Because you know that that is a life that's worth living when you're headed to the cross. A life where there's cross-bearing, a life that's lived for His will and purpose. And so Palm Sunday and Holy Week reminds us that our call in life is to bind ourselves to the altar. I used to learn a bit of martial arts when I was young, taekwondo. And the key to good taekwondo is to have a stable posture. And from then, everything will work out fine. But the Christian calling is different. On our own, our posture is unstable. But we are called to find stability by clinging, holding on to the altar of the Lord, to hold on to the cross and find our strength, meaning, and purpose through what Christ has done for us on the cross. As the word of the hymn goes, nothing in my hand I bring, only to the cross I cling. Shall we pray? And Father, we pray this Holy Week as we walk into it in the midst of much distraction and work and life. Help us to find quiet moments to meditate, to walk with our Lord Jesus, to experience deeper His presence. For some of us, perhaps selfish living, anxiety, sin in one form or another, has caused a great disconnect. Help us, O Lord, to find our place in the procession once again. And on our lips, prayer and praise. Amen.